This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're anything like me, you are always trying to learn something new, and that is why I love Rosetta Stone so much. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program. It's available on desktop or can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone immerses you in many ways. With its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Blaise has been learning German with Rosetta Stone and is so cool to watch because as someone who speaks German, I get to see how he learns the different pronunciations, how excited he gets when he gets something right, and the phrases that he's learning we're going to be able to use next time we visit Germany and Austria. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, and that's why We Drink listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/drink. That's rosettastone.com/drink.
I can't wait to have babies. Well,
I can.
I won't be having them, but.
Here we go. Welcome to And That's Why We Drink, a paranormal and true crime podcast hosted by M. Schultz, Christine Schieffer, and Boxed Wine. We are here for you, and we're here for your enjoyment.
So get ready to enjoy some stuff.
Yeah, we have stuff for you. This is really hard for me. I don't know why I'm not doing a good job.
It's because we're actually trying to do an introduction.
I messed it up. I should have just let it go.
I tried talking about babies, and you didn't let me have that.
Have y'all heard about babies?
We'll wait for your response.
Everyone just said, what did you say?
Baby.
Like,
instead of a hebe or a shebe, you got a baby.
Yeah, it's like
a baby.
It's like in Brooklyn, they're doing like, they name their kid Rain, and then they're like,
hello?
I thought it was a fucking ghost.
Baby, I thought it was a baby.
It's a Blaze.
What's wrong?
It fucking worked. I thought that was a ghost.
He wanted to mess with us. Well, he's in rare form tonight.
The door truly opened, and I was like, oh, that's Gio. And then I didn't see any fur at the ground. And I was like, oh, my God, it's a ghost.
There's two
other humans that live here besides Zero, and I assumed it was a ghost. Had to be. Anyway, babies.
I just introduced Em to the concept of babies, which I learned about at Nickelodeon.
Introduced me to a concept I should have known because I fucking was one. Whatever.
I mean, you weren't one, but, like, you should have been. Like
all of us really
we
are.
We should have been one.
We all should have been seen as a baby since the beginning of time.
Sure, but I feel like that's a long way to go.
Give it 100 years.
Maybe, yeah.
Anyway, babies, it's for people who are not doing gender reveal parties because they know that they don't actually know the gender until the human themselves announces their gender.
Yes, I have mixed feelings about it because it's also a little bit, like,
two on the nose of millennial culture.
Yeah, they're a little bit like in your face about it. And it's like, oh, my child's name is like
Rain
and
Summer
Astro something or other.
Very hippie culture.
Yeah.
And which sucks because it's like, since it's like a whole hipster hippie culture that's creating this term, mm-hmm. No one's going to take it seriously.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like it's
if it was like just like some Joe Schmo being like, no, babies are a thing, guys. And then they all like high five in the locker room about it for some reason to be taken more seriously because like the general norm.
But I feel like that's the same with every
people would believe
with
it
every
more.
Cultural shift. It's not the Joe Schmoes that.
Yeah, the Joe Schmoes have to learn from the people.
Or they just got to get on board.
Whether guys, get like on board with the babies because
the babies
regardless
are
of your beliefs, it's 2018 and babies exist.
Suck it.
And I'm going to have so many of them.
Hear that, Allison?
She can make her own decision on that. They'll just show up at the door and she'll be like, what the fuck is this?
You're like, it's my baby.
It's the baby stork. He arrived
the
early.
Stork! It sounds like when you watch like Nickelodeon or Cartoon Network and they're, I guess more like Nickelodeon, and there are those cartoons. There are those advertisements that are like, it's a whatever doll, bring her home and feed her, and she loves her bottle, and you can brush her hair. Wow. Except it's like, bring home a baby.
Except it's a baby where you can give them yellow clothes because because a stereotype has been formed on color.
Boys can wear pink and girls can wear blue. It's a gender stereotype. It's a baby.
Gender's a construct.
Trademark.
$29.99 a month.
For 7 payments of $29.99 a month, call 1-800.
Gender's a contract.
Shipping and handling not included.
Okay, now someone draw us a fucking baby and then draw a whole aisle of them at Target.
Actually, let's just make an infomercial. Someone do that.
We just did.
I know, but I need it in visual format.
Okay, if you're a jingle writer, we've given you some inspo
Hold on. If you're a jingle writer, you better have sent us something by now.
I'm just saying.
We've given you a lot of fodder for a jingle. I don't know why you're only now jumping on board.
Anyway. And also make a Joe Schmo baby, because those exist too. They're just underrepresented. If you give us a hipster baby.
Right.
That's too obvious.
Like, don't name it Rain. Name it like
Bruce.
Tim.
Oh. Or Tim.
Bruce, Tim.
Timothy Bruce.
Timothy Bruce, the baby. Also, now I don't know why we got on this rant, but I want to say.
Go ahead.
The most important thing of all. What?
What? No, I just have no idea where you're going.
Okay, complete turn from babies.
Okay, on it.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to say, please come to our live show on June 3rd in Irvine, California. The details are on our website. It's our birthday show. It's going to be huge and
awesome.
It's
my birthday show.
Listen, you get all the birthday love this year. I don't get any. So.
Birthday love? I have to be on propranolol on my birthday. I'm stoked for the presents that all of you are going to bring me, right? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. That's right.
All right, fine. Come to M's birthday show.
No, but we come to Christine's too.
Yeah, okay. You just kicked me out of it.
No, you're included again.
Come to our birthday show on June 3rd. The details are on our... My birthday's on a Monday. Let me have this.
No, that's fair.
The details are on our website. We're going to have a lot of fun. It's a huge venue, so we're trying to get as many people to come as possible.
It's our biggest venue yet, and it's... I know that it seems obvious, but I think it still needs to be said out loud that the more people that show up... The better we look and the better we look, the more places we're going to be able to get booked at bigger future shows. So if this one sells out, we're able to go to more cities.
This basically determines what our tour looks like in the coming months.
Like, actually, though, this really does determine it.
Very serious ways. So if there's any possible way you could come, please come. We would love to see you. And we're going to have so much fucking fun. It's like our big birthday bash weekend, so we're gonna have a great time, and we really want you guys to be there. And we're doing a fun new thing called And That's Why We Draw that M created.
Yes,
you've probably seen it on our social media, but if not, M, tell them what it is.
Okay, yeah, I just got excited that I got credit for something. I was like, wow,
what do you mean for something?
I don't know, because I feel like we did it together.
No, you did it. You came up with it.
It's our baby. Also, if you come to the live show, maybe bring like an air horn and just honk every time we get off on a big ass tangent.
Don't do that.
Okay. No, that's too loud.
No, don't do
that's
that.
That's too loud. Nope. We'll find an alternative. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. And that's why we draw.
Are you drunk?
I think so. It's really hot and I'm sleep deprived. So
I'm sorry.
Yes. And that's why we draw. So at our live shows, it was advised to us that we have visuals at our show. And so we were like, well, this is an audio show with zero visuals ever. So how on earth are we to do this? And I conjured up a plan called And That's Why We Draw.
Beautiful.
And during our live shows, in advance, the week before, we are going to announce key phrases that are involved in our stories that we're going to be covering. And they are key phrases that are taken completely out of text. There's no way you're going to be able to like know what the story's about. We're not going to be like ruining any spoilers.
No spoilers.
It's not like you're going to know the story. It's a completely random phrase that we're going to be covering. And it is involved in the story, but in such an off kilter way that it doesn't ruin the story or the surprise. And when we announce it, you guys are going, if you wish to, draw your interpretation of what you think we're talking about.
And we want you to draw them like it doesn't matter. You don't have to be artistic.
You don't have to be artistic.
It's almost more fun if you're just creative and like can't draw.
It's also a little more fun if you're kind of drunk and you just send us like a stick figure of something that you think really makes sense but doesn't. And
yeah,
we're confused.
We're not about, we don't, I mean, we love the artistic people and there are a lot of you and those have been some of my favorites, but don't feel like you need to be artistically. We've seen a lot of people post.
Like, yeah, they're like, oh, well, I can't draw, so I can't play. Yeah, it's like, no, fucking play.
Do you think we can draw?
This is a show called And That's Why We Drink. Do we sound like you need to, like, always be a winner at everything?
No.
So if you wish to play in the future, we will always be posting. We have a specific logo that my buddy Kirkies from Workies made.
Kirk is the fucking best. He made our logo too.
Yes. And he, so there's going to be a specific logo that we post. We'll be showing all the catchphrases that we want you guys to draw, and email them to andthatswhywedrink@gmail.com. And please put in the subject title, And That's Why We Draw submission.
Yeah.
Because otherwise we're not going to find it, or it's going to get sent to like Instagram or Twitter, and we're going to have, it's just, we need them all to go to one place.
This week we had people DM them, and we realized it was just a really
like between our personal Twitters and our podcast Twitter, our personal Instas and our podcast Insta, our Facebooks, our emails, like they, like,
I think we gathered them all, but
I think we did too.
In the future, please email them.
Yeah. I made the bad call of saying DM me because we didn't know how many people would be active participants, and the answer is a lot.
You guys are fucking hilarious, and I spent all day like cracking up over all the submissions, so thank you.
But so, yes, And That's Why We Draw is officially a thing for live shows. And even if you can't come to the live show, do not let that stop you from drawing, saying like, oh, well, I'm not going to see my drawing, because false. Whoever the winning... Oh, I didn't even say what the fuck happens after you send in these pictures. So,
Jesus.
We just laugh and then move
we
on.
We just laugh and then that's it. Yeah. We are going to pick our favorite pictures that get sent to us, and they're going to be displayed on the, like, basically a PowerPoint projection behind us on stage.
Right, when we come upon that term in our story.
Yes. And when I get to that spot, or Christine gets to that spot, we're going to say, like, okay, so this was the phrase I was saying. This is the picture that we... This was the winning picture of what someone thought we were talking about.
Interpreted.
And then whoever wins, we're also going to be posting it on social media after the live show. So you will still get to see your picture, as will everyone else, if we think that it is deemed worthy.
Yes.
Which they all are, we have to pick one. So
please participate. It's been really fun so far.
And this is about to be a very common thing in our lives, so please join us in the nightmare that is And That's Why We Draw that I've created.
It is so funny.
My own monster baby.
Your monster baby, and it, what a monster baby it is. Yes, that, and...
not only do we have that live show, but thank you in advance to everyone that's coming to our actual first non-Crime Con live show this weekend.
Oh my God.
When you're listening to this, we will... be having a live show that night.
We are having an anxiety attack currently.
Did you see it happen on my face? Like the realization and the fear?
Yeah, you kind of saw your breath kind of caught.
I realized how many hours I have left until I have to be on a stage. So
the countdown is on.
And I'm not on my propranolol right now.
It's going to be good.
Okay.
My mom's going to be in town, which is why I drink. And also because we have our live show. And we're stressed, but it's going to be really fun. And I have a feeling like it's just going to be one of our most memorable nights yet, just because
our first show in a theater, at a real venue, at a real venue.
It's going to be awesome. And then
thank you to our guinea pigs at CrimeCon who helped us really like get a sense of what it might look like.
Honestly, doing that show really helped me feel better because we were able to sit there and like have people in front of us and tell a story and then realize we didn't die. And so I feel like at least that put us in a better place.
Correct.
So.
And so we have that show, and it's helpful to know that it is sold out. That's helpful.
Yeah.
We have another live show on Father's Day.
Yeah, June 17th.
That one's also sold out. So the only one we have left in California is...
June 3rd,
and we need it. This is like the big one. So if you know anyone, just
the big kahuna,
pay them to get to the show. I don't care. It's got people. The more people that go, the bigger the venue.
Oh, by the way,
the bigger the seats.
We're going to DC, y'all.
Yeah.
I forgot to say that on the podcast. We posted it online, but we're going to DC. There's also two other cities on the East Coast that we're going to that I cannot say yet because I have not posted the ticket link, but DC is for sure happening, and then two other big cities
in the same week are
happening.
It's going to be our first big like traveling week.
Yeah, East Coast tour starting, and then there are other cities coming depending on how well we do at these other places. So get ready, get on board. We're so excited, and that's why we draw.
And that's why we draw, and that's why I drank. And this is just so a big fun. Team effort. The more people that buy tickets, the more places we can get to. And oh the bigger God. The venues are, so more people can actually show up, you know? Ugh. Like, the more people that buy tickets now, the less likely it is to be sold out and you can't come.
It'll be so fun.
It'll be so fun.
Anyway.
Once I'm medicated.
I mean, we gotta medicate first. Okay. Right, that's all I got. I just am so pumped for this weekend. It'll be really fun.
I'm just going to say it now to hold you to it. We got to figure out what to do for our birthday video.
Oh, fuck, huh? We do.
Yeah. Because our birthday is coming up.
Oh, my.
In 2 weeks.
What do we do?
I don't know. We'll make it. We'll talk about
we'll
it.
We'll talk about it. We'll talk about
We're
it.
We're in talks.
We're intoxicated.
That one of us is. So I have a story.
I'm so ready.
And before we forget, because I know we will, May 27th is our Facebook Live.
Thank you for saying that.
I know we were going to forget.
I was going to forget.
So Facebook Live, May 27th, 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
Correct.
Be there. Be square. Ask us questions. Come prepared to say a lot of nice things to us and nothing mean. Okay. Thanks.
Nothing mean.
Nothing mean, please.
Don't do it.
Dogs seem to know everything about their owners, from their schedules to their scents to exactly what annoys us, or is that just Gio? I don't know. So shouldn't humans know everything about their dogs? Well, Embark's dog DNA test allows you to do just that. Getting to know your dog's breed mix and genetic health risks with Embark means strengthening your bond with your furry friend. And Embark founded the world's first canine relative finder. I have actually found distant cousins of Geo's. Anyway, we'll get there. They even offer you the ability to connect directly with other Embark dog owners in their database. We'd like to thank EmbarkVet.com for supporting And That's Why We Drink. And you can go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 on the breed and health test with promo code DRINK. So Gio is quite a situation. All right, I got the Embark test done, and he is American Pit Bull Terrier. He is Shih Tzu. He's Australian Cattle Dog, Dachshund Chow Chow, German Shepherd, and Labrador Retriever. He is, as by the way, Embark put it, which made me so happy, he is a super mutt. Isn't that nice? I was thrilled because I had done a test on him ages ago, but it was like pretty simple and like kind of just not very, very in-depth. This Embark test was amazing. It told us that he was part Dachshund, which made a lot of sense because he's kind of like hot dog shaped. Get the dog DNA test that is trusted by millions. Right now, Embark has a limited time offer on their breed and health test for our listeners. Go to EmbarkVet.com to get free shipping and save $50 with promo code DRINK. Visit EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DRINK to save $50 today. Did you know Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the U.S. with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the U.S.? They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees, palm trees, evergreens, houseplants, and so much more. Whatever you're interested in, they have it for you. Find the perfect fit for your climate and space. Fast Growing Trees makes it easy to order online, and your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. And along with their 30-day Alive and Thrive guarantee, they offer free plant consultation forever. That is so nice. So I received this beautiful lilac shrub, and Leona and I planted it together, and we did find a creepy like saint statue while we were digging up the yard. But that aside, it was really a wonderful experience. The funniest part is my neighbor, Anne, hi Anne, walked past me the other day and said, "Oh, I saw your lilac bush that you mentioned on the podcast." And I thought, wow, advertising really works, folks. I talked about that lilac shrub. She saw it in my yard. And I said, Leona and I worked very hard to plant that. And I also found a creepy saint while I dug it up. But anyway, the point being, it looks professional. It looks like a landscaper put it there, and a toddler and I actually put it there. So I feel like we've fooled everyone. This spring, they have the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code DRINK at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code DRINK at checkout. Fastgrowingtrees.com, code DRINK. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply.
Okay, here is a story.
About a guess. Lovely lady.
No, guess again.
Here's a story about a ghoul.
Well, you're closer. This is a place in Massachusetts. I wanted to make sure there wasn't anything on the back like last time.
I checked. There wasn't anything.
But see, it's centered in Bolton.
Oh, man.
Okay. I literally just showed you the title.
I went like this, so I didn't see it. I swung my head around.
You caused a blur.
I blurred my face.
So this is the story of the Barnstable House in Barnstable, Massachusetts.
Barnstable seems like
An oxymoron.
Like redundant a little bit.
Yes. Yeah. A Barnstable. Barnstable.
All right.
Okay.
Sure.
I
mean, I'm not going to tell them they're wrong.
Sure.
But they're kind of wrong.
Yeah. It's like a college university.
Sure.
But like a agricultural.
Right. Like if you were doing like the farm version of that.
Yeah. It's like if you were playing Sims and like you ended up at a farm.
Right.
I just still think about Chauncey Bliss a lot, so that's where that came from.
Chauncey. Oh, I miss Chauncey so much.
I wonder what he's up to.
Chauncey, how are you?
The summer of like, so.
Chauncey.
So this is the Barnstable House. It is in, can you guess it, Barnstable, Massachusetts. And
clever.
I think so. Let's begin. It is a house, and it was built in 1716. And it was built by James Payne, who was related to Robert Payne, who was a signer of the Declaration of Independence.
Okay.
Fun fact. Also, I was told that if we do a drinking game at the live show, if I say fun fact, people have to like,
oh,
fucking finish their drinks.
Fun fact, you do say that a lot. That's a good one that I
know. Do you know how, okay, we're only one bullet in, but let's get into a whole other tangent as we do.
Oh, by the way, we're doing drinking games at the live shows.
Yeah.
That's another incentive.
And I had to really dwindle it down because I tweeted out things that you might want to see in a drinking game. And literally like 300 people wrote to me with their opinions of things that they should drink to. And about five suggestions in, I was like, everyone would have alcohol poisoning. Because they were like, every time you hear a gasp, a listen, I haven't spoken, or English isn't my first language. Sure. Here's the thing. Nope. Okay. What the fuck am? It was literally just like
everything
you
said.
Script. It was like a script of you.
It was like, let's put it all in one document. And then it's just us speaking the whole time.
Yes.
Cool. Also, this place, all the improv, Hollywood Improv and Irvine Improv have a 2-drink minimum. So we might as well get them some business by playing a drinking game.
I'm just saying you're going to finish both of those drinks before we're even 5 seconds into the show.
I'm just saying, take a lift there. Don't drive.
Don't drive. Take an Uber.
We're going to have a party.
We'll do a pool, an Uber pool.
Big pool.
We'll make Ashley and Hunter drive us again.
Pool party.
Jesus.
Let's get drunk.
Okay. So it was built in 1716. It was built over an underground river. So it was like underneath it was a river underneath the house.
Sure. Underneath the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because in the basement of the house, you could go in and the water was available there. Like underneath the house in the basement was like a stream, like an entrance into the water.
Oh.
So you could get access to water that way.
All I just pictured is like you go into the basement and then you open up like a thing and you take an inner tube and you're like lazy river, like float out of your house. I assume
that would be ideal, but it's instead you have to go down to like your creepy cellar and instead of there being a floor, it's like part of the river.
Oh no. Okay. That's not as fun as it was in my head.
Right.
Lazy river basement is more
the lazy river cellar.
Yeah, somebody Eva, write that down.
Eva, oh, by the way, that's one of the drinking things also suggested to us. Anytime also, we tell Eva what to do when she's not here.
Also, she's in Morocco, so.
So Eva, are you listening?
Can you hear me?
Eva?
Hello.
Come back. We miss you, Fresh.
Hello Fresh is another drinking
game. Hello Fresh was literally the first one.
Is everyone drunk already?
I think everyone's hammered.
Whoops.
Also, my throat clearing was something suggested. Guys, we have too many options. If all the things I listed, if you took a drink for every single time you heard one of those, you would be fucking annihilated.
They're not here anymore. They're asleep.
Oh, thank God I drink milkshakes. That would be a disaster what on stage.
I'm glad.
Don't you spike a thing.
No, I would never. But you're here to keep me grounded.
I'm here to make sure that you get home alive per your mother's request.
Sorry, Mom.
So in the basement, like I said, there was an opening that led to the river so people in the house could go get water. The fun fact.
Drink.
About, should we just start practicing now?
No.
fun fact, the house This house was actually built out of one tree.
What?
And was sailed over by a boat in three pieces and then put together. Like they made the house elsewhere.
Oh,
in thirds.
Okay.
And then shipped it over and put it together like a big Lego piece.
I understood. I thought you were saying it was like a Keebler elf thing where it was like built into a tree.
Oh, and also the ground is the river.
Yeah, I thought
it's like the floor is lava, but the floor is water.
Yeah,
and you're in a tree and you're a Keebler elf.
And you make cookies for a living.
You're related to the designer of the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, I really thought it was like it was made out of a tree, like a tree house.
No, not
but
as
you're
fun.
Saying it was made, the wood was made out of one tree.
Yes.
And it was put together.
One whole tree sacrificed his life for that house.
What a
and
kind,
nothing else.
Kind oak tree.
Oh, oak. Okay.
I just assume.
Sure. So, eventually the house became an inn and a restaurant / tavern, as they all do. I like how it couldn't decide. It was like, I'm going to be an inn and a restaurant and a tavern. All the things that require people to attend this house.
Don't put me in a box.
In the 1970s, the Barnstable house was vacant for a while, but a fire started and probably, I think they said in the third floor attic was where the fire started.
Did I not say Keebler Elf house? I mean,
they're cooking cookies in the middle of the night.
Yeah, it all makes sense. Yeah. There's an oven in there.
Yeah, except I think the Keebler elves are quite culinary artists. I think they know how to tamper with an oven.
They have a...
They're not...
What's this thing called? Sprinkler.
That's called a fan.
No.
What were you pointing at?
Well, you know, when it's in the sky.
On the rain?
No. No, that's my
baby. A sprinkler in the sky is a rain.
That's my baby's name. No, like when the smoke hits a sprinkler on the ceiling and it.
Oh, yeah, a sprinkler.
Yeah, okay.
I hear you. You were literally pointing at a fan, though.
I know. Okay. I'm sorry. It was symbolic.
Something's going on inside my head right now. And it's called being
ill. It's called
ill.
Murderous rage toward Christine, who won't shut up.
Oh, no, that's all of us.
Oh, that's just the norm.
That's just actually what the show should have been called. Okay, so the... Yes, there was a fire. And the house ended up... The original house ended up becoming a commercial building and now houses several businesses. And it is 268 years old as of the article that I read this on. But I didn't know how old the article was. So it's at least 268 years old.
Okay.
And the house is known as the House with 11 Ghosts. So there was a guy that used to live here called Dr. Savage. Dr. Fred Savage.
Wait, Fred Savage.
No, I'm kidding. But his name was Dr. Savage.
I was like, do you even realize...
Fred Savage is not a doctor, by the way.
Well, I was like, do you realize what he created?
The Wonder Years?
No, I mean, do you realize what this Dr. Fred Savage, like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
...later brought about?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
The Wonder Years. Do you know what he created?
And do you even know?
Do you even know? Okay. By the way, The Wonder Years is the show that I watched when I had no job.
Really?
I watched the entire series.
Oh my God.
I was actively disappointed at the finale, by the way.
Really?
Really, really was not happy with the time that I had spent watching that show.
Got it.
Okay. Dr. Savage. He owned the home at one point and apparently experimented with the occult in the house.
You know, no.
As they do.
No, no.
There was also a little girl that lived there at one point named Lucy, and she was between 4 and 7, and she was the daughter of one of the early owners.
Okay.
Lucy, Lucy died. Otherwise, why would she be mentioned in the story?
Sure thing.
Lucy fell through the opening that led to the river
because
she was playing with a ball, and the ball got in the river, and she went to go get it, and then she got stuck and drowned. I know.
I regret my...
What, your...
My thing about the lazy river and how fun it would be.
Yeah, it was the opposite of fun, actually.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Poor baby.
A former owner also lived at this house,
mm-hmm.
He lost all of his money during the Revolutionary War, and he hanged himself from one of the trees out back.
Oh, no.
So that's at least 2 deaths.
And, like, tragic deaths, too.
There's 2 deaths and someone who played with the occult beforehand.
Oh, sure. And it's not like deaths like, oh, we died peacefully in our bed. It's
right,
like
exactly.
Horrifying.
There's also a sea captain who lived here named Captain Gray. And apparently he's a real pain in the ass still as a ghost because he is known as the one that sulks around the basement cellar moaning and slamming doors.
What a drama queen.
Such a drama queen. There's also several women who have lived in this house when they were alive that are still seen. Like, women are primarily the spirits that live here.
Oh.
However, I will list a few of the men first. By the way, there's really no background. It's just ghosts.
Great.
In case you didn't
That's
notice.
What we like to hear.
So there is the ghost of Edmund Howe.
Wait, I know that name.
Do you?
Yeah. He's famous, right? Is he not?
I don't know.
Okay, sorry.
I didn't look him up for anything except how he died.
Okay, never mind.
He was the one that hanged himself.
Oh.
Should we Google him real quick?
Yeah, but my internet's not working. Hold on.
Eva isn't here to do it for us.
Damn it, Eva. Apparently, Edmund Howe is... the last thing I Googled was Fred Savage. Hold on. Apparently, Edmund Howe is... he works at the Center for the Study of Traumatic Stress. So I guess either way, it really fits.
I mean, yeah, it's still suitable.
Maybe I'm inventing that. I think maybe I was thinking of somebody else. Never mind. Sorry. Edmund Howe, the traumatic stress doctor.
I mean, you still technically, like, won the argument, you know?
No, I did not. This is not the man that I thought he was.
Many men are. Not the man I thought you were. So, Edmund Howe, who may or may not have been a doctor involved in traumatic stress, he was seen throughout the windows and the upstairs, which, by the way, was a sealed attic, so nobody is there. No one's even breaking into the house and able to get into the attic, and yet people can see him walking all around the attic.
Fabulous.
There's also the ghost of Captain Gray, the nasty one that I told you about, who likes to slam doors.
The moaning guy.
Yep. His apparition is seen in the cellar puttering around as if he's trying to finish a chore. Can you imagine What a nightmare if your eternity is not completing a chore.
You're just like puttering around trying to finish.
It's like washing all the dishes for eternity and always getting to that one last dish. And when you like put it down in the dish rack, you look in the sink and it's all filled again.
Oh man. You're like, I just want to sit down and have a beer, but like... I need to finish vacuuming and it just never ends.
It's like, I need to keep vacuuming, but I can't get that one last corner.
What a nightmare.
There's also the entity of several tavern servers dressed in colonial garb.
Oh, cute.
Which seems like one of those, like, what do you call them? Like the reenactment dinners that you go to, like a murder mystery kind of dinner or a renaissance.
Wearing the uniform.
They're like in character.
Right.
So apparently there's a lot of tavern servers, because remember, it used to be a tavern, and people have seen men in colonial attire passing their table while carrying a tray of old-fashioned tankard mugs.
Oh.
Like actual servers, though. So, like, I'm thinking of it as a reenactment, but in reality, if these are ghosts, it's because they were servers during a colonial time.
How sad, too, that you're just, like, stuck, like,
you're still serving.
What? All these people are just...
Would you rather be in food service for eternity or never be able to finish your chores? I mean, it's all bad.
It's all equally bad. I'm going to be honest. I don't think you win.
So basically, they were colonial servers. And the entity of Lucy, the little girl, is apparently a very sociable little girl.
What a sweetie.
And tries to find people who will play ball with her.
Honey, that makes me sad.
She appears in front of you and plays mischievous pranks. Which I don't like.
What? No.
I think...
No.
Being dead qualifies you as, like, a mischievous prank on its own if you're still showing up like you're alive.
Yeah.
That's as pranky as you need to get around me.
Don't prank me if you're a dead child.
Yeah. Like...
PSA.
If you're listening.
Hello?
Fresh. After the fire in 1970s, apparently when they were moving things around because... It turned into commercial buildings. So the tavern itself actually remained, but it moved to a different location. So after the fire, a lot of shit was damaged and they're like, okay, we're going to turn this into a commercial property, but we still want to just reopen somewhere else.
Okay.
So they brought over some of the furniture from the original tavern that wasn't damaged to the new tavern.
Okay.
So after the fire, apparently Lucy attached herself to furniture that got moved. And so she actually haunts both places, the original building and the new tavern.
She's like, "Wee, I'm going with this couch."
Yeah, and apparently some of the colonial servers also attached themselves.
Oh, no!
And so even though they actually weren't spirits originally on that property, now people will
Are you serious?
People will still see colonial servants.
I didn't know that was a thing. that they could split up like that? Like, she could, like, split to two places.
I don't know. Walt likes...
Walt likes Alabama, too,
Walt likes Alabama.
He does, right?
Walt's
the ghost that lives
also
here.
Also, should
if
we...
If y'all are listening backwards.
Also, should we ask his request?
What request?
Remember, Walt had a very specific request for us.
What was it? I mean, ask it. I don't remember.
So, we're talking to... We're talking via a board that sounds like squeegee.
Yeah, and you probably haven't heard of it.
And there has been a request to find his family.
Oh, there has, hasn't there?
And
oh, I forgot about this.
I tried using Facebook. I cannot find them. But maybe if we can reach out this way and other people can try to track them down.
But also don't stalk anyone. Don't harass anyone.
And don't talk to anyone.
No, don't harass anyone.
We're not asking you to go message random people. But if you like, you know, if it's the middle of the night and you feel like stalking someone like privately and then not reaching out to them.
And then telling us.
That would be great. Apparently, Walt's name is Walt McNeil. And he doesn't know how old he is, but he has three living descendants that all live in Alabama.
Uh-huh.
And I think he said Birmingham.
I think he said near Birmingham or something.
Alabama. And he has a descendant named Mike Lawson,
mm-hmm.
who is in his 50s, in mm-hmm. his early 50s. And Mike has twin children named Jason and Hattie, and they should be around 14 years old.
I can't believe you remember that.
I tried looking them up, and I could not find them. So if you have the powers that I don't on social media to find Matt or Jason Lawson and Hattie Lawson that are 14, or their father, Mike Lawson, who's in his 50s, and they live in Alabama.
Let us know.
Let us know, because it was requested to us from beyond the grave.
You know, casually.
It's just literally a death wish.
It's fine.
It's just a post-death wish,
it's
actually.
It's like NBD.
And also, guys, if you literally can find a guy named Mike Lawson in Alabama in his 50s with twin 14-year-olds named Jason and Hattie, we have proven that ghosts fucking exist.
Get on it.
I mean, it's just like a tall drink. It's just a tall order.
It's a tall drink.
I was going to say a tall drink of water, but I was talking about myself, actually. So. Okay. Anyway, that being said, do your magic, Internet.
Come on, Internet.
And do it respectfully.
Please don't harass anyone.
I really don't need to go to jail.
No.
Okay, so, anyway, as I was saying, Jesus, we keep getting off on. Okay, so she attached herself to furniture, and so at both places she has been seen pulling mischievous pranks, such as locking doors of rooms that you're in by yourself, so you get locked into rooms. She changes the radio. She's like, guys, I just want to listen to, like, Fall Out Boy. It's fine.
I mean, me.
She shows up. Oh, she doesn't show up under beds. Oh, my God. That'd be terrifying.
Oh.
She hides the silverware when the staff is setting up, and it gets found under beds and couches.
Also me.
She visits both buildings. So I guess she's like a commuter. And that's that on her. Oh, she likes flashlight interviews. I saw a couple of videos of people trying to talk to her, and people leave her like a ball and toys.
Sweet.
And she has, on multiple accounts, said her name into EVP and a spirit box.
Oh,
so, like,
shit.
People know that they're talking to her. She likes playing with the toys that people leave her, and she is seen skipping down the hall into rooms that are empty. So if you go try to follow her, a room will be empty after you've seen her skip in.
Oh, no.
Her mother also has been seen in the house, and she is seen sitting in her rocking chair, and sometimes the chair, like, sometimes you see her in the chair, sometimes you see a rocking chair rocking by itself.
Mm-mm.
And they've gotten EVPs of a woman humming. You can also hear humming in the attic when nobody is upstairs, because it's been locked off.
Mm-mm.
They've also gotten EVPs of a child singing and giggling.
Okay.
So, no.
No, thanks.
So this woman, they don't know if it's her mother or another woman, but there's a very common entity named Margaret. And Margaret has been seen in the windows and halls wearing a white gown dress and long blonde hair floating instead of walking.
Oh, that's nice.
So during the fire in the 1970s, also the place was vacant at the time, but the firemen that got there didn't know that. They just saw a house on fire. So they went in. And it wasn't, like, crazy on fire. Like, only a portion of the house was on fire. But people didn't need to rush out. It wasn't.
Sure.
You know what I mean? That being said, firemen were walking through, making sure that the house was okay. And they saw a woman. Let me backtrack. Because, hang on. You'll get it. So the firemen were looking through the house and they looked out the window and they saw a woman looking at them through the window on the third floor. Like some had gone inside and some were standing outside to like check the perimeter
yeah.
of the house. And they looked up and they saw a woman on the third floor in the attic, which as we know is locked off, but they didn't know that. They just saw someone in the house thought someone lived there.
Oh, got it.
So they said, oh, someone's on the third floor. And so they got up to the room, but the room was empty.
Oh, God.
Then when they were in the room, they looked out the window and saw the woman floating in the front yard, staring at them and then disappearing in front of them. Two of those firemen said that the woman looked exactly like the one who was following them through the house, who they thought was the owner of the house. So, like, they didn't even question why she was with them.
Oh, my God.
And so when they said, when the other firemen were like, what are you talking about? They said that a woman was following them around the house and asking them strange questions about their uniform and said that she missed her old room.
Strange questions about their uniform.
Like, not like she was so from so far long ago. She didn't know what they were doing
creepy.
There.
Creepy.
And the firemen said they thought it was weird how she got downstairs outside so fast, considering she was just talking to them only a minute ago. So some people were outside looking up to the third floor in the attic that's locked off, and she was there. People that were there were looking down on the ground, and she was in the yard.
Right.
Other people in the house, she was literally falling around and talking to them.
Oh, my God. So she's just
all over the place, and everyone had a different story.
Oh, great.
The first floor of the building is now a law office, and one of the last entities. I was trying to avoid the word spirit for the millionth time, so I kept saying entity in my notes.
Entity is nice.
The last entity is there was a former wife of the house, and she's often seen on the first floor, especially in the dining room. So since the first floor of the building is now a law office, and that's where she's often seen, a lawyer who works there was sitting at his desk when he saw and heard the latch to his door open, his office door. And he saw a woman walk in without feet, like just floating, with a hatchet in her hand.
Oh, no.
Calmly floating through his room, stopping at his shelves and staring. Like staring in the middle of the room, just standing there with a hatchet. And she also is floating.
Can you imagine how traumatic that must be?
As a lawyer who's nothing but logical, too. It's traumatic. Like, oh, my God.
Traumatic.
The same lawyer has also seen her multiple times churning butter by the fireplace.
So he's just like,
I feel like this is like the beginning and end of the relationship of like Gio and Juniper. But like in the beginning, Gio probably saw Juniper as someone without legs and a hatchet. And now he like just walks past her and like she's just like churning butter. And he's like, I still don't really know why you're fucking here, but it's better than it was.
But I guess I'll let you churn butter in my law office.
Like, just stay over there. Just stay over there and we're fine.
That's crazy, though. Like, that guy must be super in tune with spirits or something.
Why, I guess.
If he's always seeing her.
So during one investigation, they taunted the ghosts in there. And for some reason, they were not using Havenly.
Was it Zach Baggins?
No.
Taunting? Nope.
Okay. There was a heavy cast iron statue of a whale in this building.
Oh, yeah, you're right. No Havenly involved there.
Nope. Just good old my decorations. And
just good old eBay.com.
But so a heavy cast iron statue of a whale. So that's a fucking heavy statue. A heavy statue.
If you were going to get a statue of anything,
it would be not only cast iron, but also the shape and size of a fucking whale.
If you're going to get a statue of anything heavy, you would literally pick a whale over anything else.
Yeah.
I need
something that just makes this room feel heavy. Oh, what's more heavy than a whale
something
cast iron statue?
That no one can pick up. Okay.
So they were on an investigation. They were taunting the hell out of the ghosts.
Rude.
Because they were immature and disrespectful.
Rude.
And this statue just fell over like it was nothing and fell in front of them and actually damaged some of the floor because it was so fucking heavy. It like damaged the floor.
I'm amazed
and
it didn't
fell behind them.
Break their ankles or something. That would have been scary.
They have also on investigations asked, what is your name? And a very clear EVP shows a man whispering the name Andrew Blackburn, which was one of the people who used to live there. It's like clear as day, Andrew
really
Blackburn.
Specific.
So that's all the stuff for the Barnstable house. But 2 minutes down the road is the Barnstable old jowl
Gowl. We like a good gowl.
Love a good gowl. So yes, the Barnstable Old Jail. It's literally called the Old Jail.
Good, good, good.
To this day. And actually, if you Google a picture of it, which I advise, it's pretty adorable looking from the outside.
Does it look like a little old schoolhouse or something?
Yes.
Oh, what is it, in Boston?
Or it's in Barnstable, Massachusetts, right next to the Barnstable House, 2 miles away.
There it is.
And the reason it looks so old-fashioned is because it was built in 1690.
It's literally one of the... It's so old-looking.
It's the country's oldest wooden jail. A jail made of wood only.
It looks exactly like the country's oldest fucking wooden jail.
Yeah.
If you look at a picture.
It looks like exactly where a farmer, like, puts a guy in timeout but calls it jail.
Goodbye.
Because it's so adorable.
Here's
but
your whiskey.
So creepy.
Stay in there for a little bit.
Yeah, here's your, like, complimentary whiskey in your, quote, jail. But also look at pictures of the inside.
It's actually terrifying.
It looks like a Cracker Barrel on the inside. It's entirely wooden.
Oh, this looks terrifying to me.
Yep.
But that doesn't look like your Cracker Barrel. That looks
I was thinking more of, like, the ones, like, the wooden lobby kind of look.
Oh, sure. Okay. Because one of the, like, jail cells looks like fucking solitary confinement with a stool in it. But then you're right. Like, the outside looks a little bit like it has a little bit of a charm.
It's got the Southern charm.
A New England charm.
It's got a warm hospitality. Yes, it is the New England.
It's
the Martha Stewart of jails, actually.
Kind of, like, sprinkled her magic on it a little bit.
Also, funny how you mentioned that looks like solitary confinement, because it's literally described online as distinctly a 17th century torture pit.
Okay.
So I'm going to have you do something real quick.
I don't want to do anything with that.
Google.
I don't want to participate with that.
Barnstable Old Jowl. wood plank. And then let me see it, because I got to point out a specific thing. So.
Okay, I'm looking at it.
There is literally a wooden plank that, as they were recently cleaning it out, they found this wooden plank that had been over there for more than 300 years, and it has carvings in it from the original inmates in the 1690s.
Oh my God, I see it now.
And one of, if you look at it closely, that plank of wood says, W. Bartlett, 13th day of October to the 27th day of October, 1698.
1698.
And they just found it. It's just been sitting there this whole time.
I see it. Bartlett. Oh my God, this is bananas, you guys. Google it. What is it called? Barnstable
Old. I spelt jowl instead of jail.
Gowl.
Sorry, sometimes it's a soft G.
Oh, is it really? Maybe I'm saying it
wrong. I mean, no, I was fucking with you. I have no idea.
Wood plank.
And then probably type in Bartlett or something and you'll get it.
You gotta scroll down.
Or 1698.
Scroll down a ways. We'll post it.
So,
we always say that. We
never do.
We're going to do it.
Just
Eva,
until you...
Eva? Hello?
Eva? Fresh. So, yeah. So, that's how fucking old this place is. Literally just like a wooden, horrible jail.
That's actually really fucking creepy, this plank.
Well, also, so it looks really adorable on the outside, this jail. But
it
on
does.
The inside, like you said, 17th century torture pit.
Nope.
And it was... If you look at it, it literally looks like a tiny little farmhouse.
Yeah.
Like a house. Doesn't look like a jail.
Yeah.
And it actually could only hold up to 6 prisoners at a time.
Oh my God.
Adorable.
So cute.
But.
Miniature.
Of course, they did not pay attention to maximum capacity at the time. And it actually still holds several inmates at once. And only inmates who could afford it got to eat.
What?
So it was actually jam-packed in there like sardines. And they were fighting each other for food for the people who actually bought food.
Well, that's fucking great. It's so tiny too.
It's like a tiny house.
Yeah.
Dreams. So it was a jail until 1820, and then it was actually moved from its original property and piece by piece brought back over and rebuilt in a location where they were like, it will suit this area. It will do here. Guess where they brought it? A cemetery.
Oh my God.
So where things are go to die if they're not already dead, apparently.
Where
so
they can suit the place.
Right.
Sure.
So in Cobbs Hill Cemetery now sits the Barnstable Old Jail.
Wow.
Ghosts came with the building, obviously.
Sure.
And investigations and overnight tours were done for a while. And the main tour guide, his name was Derek. And
Derek.
I know. And he said that the ghosts would often bump into people, push them, throw items, drop rocks by their feet. So, like, just to get attention, mm-hmm. like, feel something by your foot and then look down and someone's dropped a rock.
That's not nice.
They would growl, whisper, and very clearly in the EVPs say, move aside, help, I'm cold. Because remember, it was New England in the 1600s, and it's a wooden jail.
In a wooden building where they don't give a shit about you.
And there's no heating.
They don't give a shit. Oh, that's so sad.
And then there's also an EVP that says, can I get out yet? Super sad. Apparently, there are two apparitions that walk throughout the house upstairs. You can see them through the windows, and you can hear their footsteps and shuffling. You can also hear the cell doors lock and move on their own. And the doors will open after you've closed them. There are heavy knocks on the walls, and there's also knocks and snickering in a cell when you are in there by yourself.
Oh, gross.
People often see Edmund Howe. Because the guy that hanged himself. Because it's only like 2 minutes away. I'm sure he doesn't mind the brisk walk from his Barnstable house to the Barnstable jail in the cemetery.
Why not?
And so anyway, he's often seen standing outside in the lawn staring at you.
And he's the one who hanged himself, right?
Yeah.
Ugh.
With long black hair. He wears a white colonial shirt and he just stares.
Ew, he has long black hair and a colonial shirt. That's the creepiest thing.
He also... people have also experienced in this jail during the tours their hands being squeezed by children-sized hands, tugs on the shirt, breath on their face, the sense of being stared at, chairs sliding on the floor on their own. And there's also a woman that appears to you, does not speak, and will stay there if you don't speak to her, but if you question her, she will vanish. So it's like, if you're cool with a mute ghost, she'll chill with you.
She's like, don't question me.
But also, like, for a while I was like, why are all these like children and women at this jail? But it's also sitting on a cemetery, like, these, it's just covered in ghosts now. So apparently, who's to say who's originally part of the jail and who's not?
Right. They're just,
it's equally haunted as the Barnstable house 2 minutes away.
I just realized I was thinking about Elias Howe, who invented the modern sewing machine.
Okay. Not him.
Not the same, but, like, look at him. He looks like an Edmund. He looks like an Edmund, and he looks like he would have been around that time period.
Yes.
So, that's why I was confused. Sorry. And he's from Massachusetts.
Oh.
So, anyway, that is creepy. Where is Barnstable? Do you know where that is, Barnstable?
No. I should have probably done my R&D, but I assumed Eva would do it, but she's in fucking Morocco. Who goes to Morocco?
Who goes to Morocco?
When you've got a job where we're your boss. You're so fucking lucky, Eva.
Excuse me.
God, she's so lucky and stupid and fired.
Stupid and fired. I keep stalking her Instagram because...
I know. She looks like she's having a blast.
Oh my God, so much fun. Oh, Barnstable is like on the little hook in Massachusetts. Like down there. There's Boston up there and there's Barnstable.
Oh, cool.
Like literally down in the...
In the little shoe.
In the little baby shoe.
So you got engaged. Congrats. Now you may be wondering what's next. If you're planning a wedding, the first thing you need to know about is Zola. In fact, I actually shout this at any friends I have who are engaged because it saved my life when I was planning my wedding. Zola has everything you need to plan your wedding in one place, including venue options and all your vendors. Plus, you can design save the dates and invites, build a free wedding website, create your registry, and stay on track and on budget throughout the entire process with their free planning tools. I tell my friends Zola is a one-stop shop, right? This is the key to planning a wedding. I didn't even have a wedding planner. I used Zola and they were so helpful on every front. Everything from save the dates to a wedding website to online RSVPs to finding vendors. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake. Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and actually enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go. Or on your couch. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com. Audible is the destination for thrilling audio entertainment with brand new releases and next listen recommendations. There's a story for every listener, from classic favorites to exclusive thrillers from best-selling authors. Elevate your heart rate with a pulse-pounding collection of thrillers you can't hear anywhere else, all brought to life with Premier Audio. From eerie soundscapes to dynamic voice performances, you're guaranteed to be on the edge of your seat. With female writers and heroines, celebrity narration, multicast productions with immersive sound design, and traditional audiobooks, Audible has your thrill needs covered. Plus, with an Audible membership, get access to thousands of titles and the chance to discover new favorites and formats like the exclusive Words and Music series or a podcast. And Audible members can choose one title a month to keep from the entire catalog. I have to tell you about a thriller I recently listened to on Audible. It's called None of This Is True, and it is actually about a true crime podcaster. And I was surprised how much I got into it. It has, speaking of like immersive sound, it was such a good audiobook. I actually recommended it for one of the recent And That's Why We Drink newsletters. I always go to Audible for my thriller fix. New Audible members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/drink or text drink to 500-500. That's audible.com/drink or text drink to 500-500 to try Audible free for 30 days.
All right, so that's that.
Listen, I got some things to say too.
Oh boy, hang on 1 second though. Sorry, I thought something was happening, but it wasn't.
That sounded like something was happening.
Yeah, it was me inhaling really intensely.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. What were you going to tell me?
Okay, I was going to tell you a story. If that's okay.
One whole story. Okay, sure.
Sure. So my story goes out to Columbus, Ohio this week. Whoa! My papers just got thrown on the ground. Don't knock the rest of them.
We all know they're going to get on the floor anyway.
Damn it, Em.
Okay. Shout out to Columbus, Ohio.
Shout out to Columbus. So I was just in Columbus, actually, for Blazes and my friends Amanda and Evan's wedding. And it was the first wedding of many that we're going to this year. So it was like the kickoff wedding. And ours is like the 7th one out of all the ones we're going to. And we had a lot of fun. And she's actually an avid listener of the podcast.
Oh, wow.
Which is cool. So sweet. And she, like when I got back to LA, she sent me a message. And it was a screenshot of her. It was on Monday. So on Sunday, we hung out with them a little bit before we flew back to LA. Their wedding was on Saturday. And on Monday, I got a message, and she was like, she'd like went back to work for a half day and was like, your podcast is getting me through my half day at work or whatever. And I was like,
that's awesome.
So sweet.
It's like, and not like your brand new husband, it was, but so, my podcast. Okay, thanks.
It was so sweet. And her friend at the wedding came up and was like, oh my God, are you Christine? It's so nice to meet you. Oh. Like, it was really, really sweet. So she's like doing the Lord's work out there and promoting ATWWD. And so speaking of Columbus, I was in the airport on the way home when, so I was like, I want a glass of wine. So I was going to walk to the wine bar. Surprise.
What is the surprise? No surprise at all.
And Blaze was like, let me go pee first. So he went to the bathroom and I sat down and I like his seat next to me was empty and the airport was crowded and this woman and man walk up and they're about to ask me a question. And I put my hand on the seat and I'm like, oh, sorry. Because I think they're going to ask for this seat. And then she goes, this is going to sound weird, but are you Christine? And I didn't know what to say.
Well, it finally happened for you.
I went, maybe. Because my first thought is, what did I do? So I'm like,
no, actually, my name is M. Schultz.
Yeah, I'm actually. And so I was like, maybe. And she was like, oh, my God. Like, I thought it was you. And my husband said, she looks so familiar. And then Blaze was, of course, wearing his And That's Why We Drink shirt. And she's like, and then we saw the shirt and thought, oh, my God, that's Christine. And I was like, and actually what I said out loud was, are my dreams coming true? Because I've never been recognized anywhere.
Christine has been privately wishing for this for so long.
Not so privately. I've been
maybe
bitching.
Not privately. But anytime I've said, oh, yeah, I got recognized, Christine's been like, God damn it. Like, when is my time going to happen?
Blaze got recognized before me. Like, it really bothered me. So finally, somebody came up to me and was like, so sweet. And so her name was Maddie and her husband's name was Nicholas. And they, like, apparently got married last October. And on their way home from the honeymoon, they listened to our podcast the whole way. And now
I like how romance is like weirdly dead and alive all at the same time.
I like how we're involved in the wedding and the romance.
We're intimately involved with the happy couple.
Intimately, keyword. So she was so sweet and we got a photo together and Blaze was like, and then the guy next to us was like, oh, do you want me to take the photo of all four of you? And Blaze is like, oh no, they don't want me in it. Like, because Blaze is like, I'll take the photo. And the guy's like, I'll take it for you. And he's like, no, 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 I'm not meant to be in this photograph. Like, this is really not
like
for
he's
me.
Like, I don't want to be associated with this any more than the shirt I'm wearing.
So it was really sweet. And they were so kind and wonderful. And then I went and had a glass of wine and talked about it for 10 hours. So that was really awesome.
I guarantee you the second Blaze realized you were being recognized, he was like, God damn it, my fucking vacation's over.
The best part is he walked out of the bathroom and he's like, why is Christine talking to strangers? Why does this always happen? And then
he was like, oh no, I'm not going to get a word in edgewise for the next 10 days.
It got worse. But yeah, so that was amazing. Columbus treated me very well. Also, my best friend Renee lives in Columbus because she goes to OSU Law School there, which I never really showed her or told her, but I bought an OSU Law School shirt. She was in Cleveland for Mother's Day, so we happened to miss each other.
Aww.
But I walked past her apartment like a big creep and took a bunch of photos.
Oh my God.
And then went to the bookstore and bought an OSU Law shirt.
Aww.
And wore it all weekend. But so she texted me about...
So you could look like a lawyer, got it.
Yeah, actually a lot of people in the
airport... Everyone probably respected you, like, oh wow.
Oh, it was amazing. And they went, go Bucks. And I was like, excuse me? There were a few times where people were like, Buckeyes. And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And I didn't get it, but apparently that's...
See, I hear Buckeyes and I'm like, yeah, I love the chocolate too. Like,
oh, I ate so many of those, by the way, this weekend.
Love Buckeyes.
Peanut butter. So anyway, point being, Renee actually suggested this a while back because she lives very close to the where this happened.
Okay.
And since I was in Columbus and like they showed me a great time, I decided to do this topic. So Columbus, this one goes out to you. And I used to kind of hate on you because I'm from Cincinnati. I don't really know much about you, but
I just have a blind raged hate.
It's just like a blind, like not like
just an ignorant frenemy.
The rage goes to Pittsburgh and Cleveland, but like the simmering like dislike goes to Columbus, but not anymore. Now I like you.
I hear you
a little bit. So this is the disappearance of Brian Schaefer. Do you know it?
I feel like I do, but I don't.
Okay.
Like, you'll probably get to a specific point where I hear something and I'm like, oh, yes, it's all coming back to me now.
Okay. I feel like that's fun, though.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to find out when that happens in the story.
Cool, cool, cool.
It'll be the last bullet.
Let me... And that's the story. Oh, my God, now I recognize it.
Oh, my God. I was waiting for the words, the end. That was the trigger.
Why
got it.
Why didn't you say that sooner? Okay, so let's go back to 2006.
Let's not, because I was fucking 14 and that...
What was happening?
Atrocious.
Man.
Jonas Brothers were alive and well.
Oh, I saw that movie in theaters.
Oh, me too. Brief. I also saw them live when I was 14.
Woof.
I saw... It was the Hannah Montana Best of Both Worlds tour featuring the Jonas Brothers.
Actually pretty cool.
I was the most 14-year-old person alive.
Wow. I was just on AIM making like fake accounts and talking to my crushes.
Been like there.
A psychopath.
I was doing that too.
Anyway, 2006, Columbus, Ohio, MySpace was all the rage. It was a good time.
Ugh.
Yep.
You said MySpace and it took me back even further.
That was when I thought I was emo, and so I put a lot of really fun things on my page with skulls, pink skulls and shit.
MySpace was the year that we all thought we were computer hackers because we had learned how to like get behind the system and
like code a little bit.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I know basic HTML and I am just I am on fucking fire. The president can't stop me.
I would turn the skulls into like bigger skulls and be like, look at this.
Yeah, yeah, I bet you can't do that, mom.
And
my mom was
can't.
Like, my mom's to this day probably still doesn't know that that's what I did on MySpace. She probably thinks that I just like picked a color.
Oh no, I mean, I don't think my mom really even understands. I don't think she wants to know what the fuck MySpace was. I mean I listen to like Billy Talent. Does anyone know Billy Talent except my brother and me? Do you know Billy Talent? Into the river below. Okay, I'm not going to sing it, but it's very dark Canadian, weird emo.
Well, if it's dark and Canadian is an oxymoron, but I'll listen
Billy
to it.
Not Billy Talent. I tell you what, I used to listen to that so loud, then my aunt came to visit and my aunt was like, turn it off. And I've never liked her since. Anyway. Sorry,
and
Mom.
Neither did any Canadian.
Don't talk to her. Okay.
Okay, moving on. Jesus. MySpace, Jonas Brothers.
Do you want to hear more about my MySpace? No. Okay. Brian Schaefer was a med student at the Ohio State University.
Go Bucks!
That's right.
Buckeyes!
That's right. Eat some peanut butter. In March of 2006, during his second year in med school, unfortunately, his mother died of myelodysplasia, which is a
Yeesh.
Form of bone marrow cancer. And he obviously took it hard, but like managed to handle it. Well, we just dive right into the story, by the way.
Right. Okay.
Sorry.
Not even a playful beginning.
Yeah. Got I it. Mean, I tried with the MySpace, but it doesn't.
It landed.
I tried, but yeah, the story itself doesn't really start on a good foot. So, so his mother passed away and it was obviously a tragedy for the family. He managed well enough to continue with school, and was able to kind of continue with his classes and exams until the semester was over. He also had a serious girlfriend at the time whose name was Alexis Wagner, and she and her friends and family knew that Brian would be proposing soon, and they had recently planned a trip to Miami for spring break in April, so that's kind of when she thought that the proposal
would be happening.
Yeah, exactly. So it was sort of like one of those like not so mysterious surprises
right.
that was coming. Brian was a big fan of tropical locations like Miami. He really liked...
Same as my mother.
Yeah. It's like Linda. Like a lot of Ohioans, actually, liked the notion of like a relaxed atmosphere, like a tropical location where you can just kind of chill. And although he liked studying medicine and he wanted to be a doctor, he would tell people that his true ambition was to start a band that played music in the vein of none other than our good friend Jimmy Buffet.
Oh, I love a good Jimmy Buffet, though.
Do you have any idea how much I don't like a good Jimmy Buffet?
Probably, like, on a proportional scale of how much I love Jimmy Buffet.
It wasn't until I listened to My Brother and Me, and they had Jimmy Buffet on an episode, that I was like, all right, I can get down with this guy. But it took me a long time, because it's such a dad thing, and I just
couldn't. Know, but one, I'm going to grow up and be the most dad.
Second
of all, okay, here's the fucking skinny on Jimmy Buffet.
I don't even. Okay, go
okay,
ahead.
One, I grew up on Jimmy Buffett because...
of course you did.
Because my mother is Kris Jenner, and I have the most, like, I led a very lucky childhood. I'm from Silver Spoons, and it's true. I was very, very lucky growing up. And so, like, we had a pool in the backyard, like a very nice pool in the backyard, and we had pool parties all the time. Like, my summers, I remember every single day in my childhood memory that
to use an M quote, must be nice.
Yeah, no, it was I had a great childhood. And so, like, I remember, like, just parties all the time with my mom's friends over all the time, and I distinctly remember Jimmy Buffett always playing in the background.
Oh,
so it's
no.
got that good feeling nostalgia.
It has the memory, right?
But also Fredericksburg has a weird obsession with Jimmy Buffett.
I'm not surprised by that.
And there's once a year Jimmy Buffett comes to Fredericksburg, or not really, it's like near Fredericksburg, and everyone in the whole town goes, like, all the stores shut down, like, people get fucking wild at the Jimmy Buffett concerts. My mom, I feel like she's never missed a year.
Yep.
The whole town, like, just goes, like, radio silent for Jimmy Buffett Day. Everyone goes bananas.
And I can't do it. This is why
I love it so much.
This is why I hate it. I'm like, all these middle-aged people.
Okay. I mean, yeah, it's just drunk white middle-aged people.
Yeah, that's kind of
which I'm not a fan of, but I love like hearing the stories of when my mom likes to get down, and she always gets down at a Jimmy Buffett concert.
My friend Celine and I so Celine has her parents have a house in Florida, and we would go down and her stepdad would be all like, Jimmy Buffett, and we were like, no, we don't know.
I fucking love Jimmy Buffett.
It's just one of those things that, like, growing up we were like, get out of here.
You could play I obviously won't do this because I want to keep our friendship, but you could play any Jimmy Buffett song. I know every word.
Yeah, we're not gonna play that. You could play any Billy Talent song and I can say every word, so maybe we can play a fun game of that.
Oh no, that would require singing and twice the amount of propranolol.
Okay, well,
moving on.
All I'm saying is no thanks. Point being, on his MySpace page, Brian described himself as such, quote, I am a second-year medical student at Ohio State University. Only
go Bucks.
He didn't say the Ohio State, so that's a little questionable. I have only 2 years to go. I have an awesome and amazing girlfriend. She's super hot. One word.
That's how I describe Allison.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. And lots of fun. I thought you were gonna say that's how you describe me. I was like, oh, thanks.
No.
I really love music, and this whole doctor thing is really just a job, parentheses, only temporary.
Said Blaze.
Until I get my band together and put out a record.
Said Blaze.
Said Blaze never, dude. Blaze doesn't even... No, literally never. I want to own an island someday, or at least a beach, so I can listen to Buffett all day and drink margaritas with my senorita.
That just sounds like a life.
But I just love that he's like in med school and he's like, this is just a temporary
job.
It's
just a temp thing.
Hold on.
I'm still trying to find myself. I'm on that journey, like, and it leads to Jimmy Buffett.
But like, to be a med school student who's, by the way, he studied microbiology for 6 years, then went to med school, and then he's like, oh, this is just a temporary thing. I'm like, no, like a job at Best Buy is like a temporary thing. Not a job as like studying to be a doctor and going deeply into debt.
He wants a very specific skill set before he lands on his forever job.
I guess so. So he's like, this is a temporary job until I can get a band together and own an island.
Okay.
It's just so specific. I mean, I guess you have to be rich to own an island, so maybe that's why. Anyway, so whatever. So on March 31st of 2006, which was 3 weeks after his mother had passed away, and a week before spring break when he was supposed to leave with his girlfriend Alexis to Miami, Brian and his dad, so it was the last day of classes in the semester. Do you want to close that for me? I'm sorry.
I want to sing Jimmy Buffett to them.
Please don't do that.
Living on sponge cake.
No, I don't like that.
Watching the sun bake.
Stop it. I really don't like it. Okay.
Keep going.
Okay. So on March 31st of 2006, which was 3 weeks after his mom passed away, in a week before the big trip to Miami with his girlfriend Alexis, it was the last day of the spring semester. So he and his dad went out to celebrate. His dad's name was Randy Schaefer. And they went out to go for a steak dinner together. And again, like, his mother had just passed away less than a month ago. So it was right. Still very, like,
new and
open fresh.
Open wound.
And Randy, the father, noticed that Brian was, like, pretty exhausted. But it made sense because he had been pulling all-nighters because it was exam week. And
can you imagine med school exam week and your mom has just passed?
No, I can't. I can't.
That's a hero.
It really is. It's really rough. So he'd been cramming for exams. And so he and his dad went out for a steak dinner. And although he didn't say anything at the time, his dad, Randy, said or thought like he shouldn't go out tonight with his friend Clint like he was planning. But he didn't really say anything. And he was like, I want to let him do what he wants. So that night at 9 p.m., Brian ended up meeting with his friend William Clint Florence at a bar on High Street, which is, I'm not going to triangulate my friend. Never mind.
nearby.
Which is nearby. At a bar on High Street called the Ugly Tuna Saluna. And it is a famous bar in Columbus.
I've heard of it.
Famous bar on the OSU campus.
I really feel like I've heard that before.
You might have. Yeah, so it's a famous bar on the OSU campus. My friend Renee...
goes often?
No, but she lives near there. So she had like mentioned it, and actually when I was in Columbus for the wedding at OSU, I like passed it several times, so I feel like this was all pointing to this story.
Yes, it was written in the stars.
So he went out with Clint. An hour later, Brian called Alexis, his girlfriend, who had actually gone back to Toledo to be with her family for a little bit before her trip to Miami, because it was spring, but like spring break was starting soon. And he called her and told her he loved her and good night, and he missed her, like normal, you know, relationship type call. And then he and Clint decided to go bar hopping. And according to Clint, they took a shot at each bar they went to. And then after midnight, Brian and Clint met up with a friend of theirs named Meredith Reed, and she agreed to give them a ride back to the Ugly Tuna Saluna for one last round. So they were out bar hopping, and the end of the night, past midnight, she drove them back to the Ugly Tuna. And while they were there, Brian separated from his friends, and they looked for him. They called out for him, but they didn't see him anywhere. So when 2 o'clock rolled around and the bar was closing, they waited outside for him to walk out. But he wasn't in the crowd of people leaving right. The bar. So they were like, well, that's strange. He lived really close by, and he had been going out and studying and staying up late. So they were like, oh, he probably just got exhausted and walked home and went to bed. So they let it be.
Okay.
But Brian Schaefer was never seen again.
Mm.
That weekend, Alexis and Brian's dad, Randy, called him repeatedly, but he never answered his phone. On Monday morning, Alexis went to the airport for their flight to Miami, hoping he would show up. He did not show up.
That'd be the moment I decided he was dead.
And so that is exactly when they reported him missing to the Columbus police.
I wouldn't even think he was missing. I would be like, he's a dead person.
It was the last hope, yeah. So police started their search at the Ugly Tuna because that's where he was last seen. And the area actually had a notable crime rate. So the bar had installed security cameras, like pretty much around the whole building. Columbus actually has the most security cameras of any city in Ohio, more than Cleveland, Toledo, and Cincinnati combined. So, which is like kind of a crazy amount because at least Cleveland and Cincinnati are pretty big cities. So they obviously looked at all the footage, and it showed Brian, Meredith, and Clint, the three friends, going up in the escalator to the bar's main entrance at 1:15 a.m. At 1:55 a.m., Brian was seen outside the bar talking to two young women, one of whom he had been friends with in college. Then he said goodbye and walked back into the bar, and then the women left. But the footage never showed him leaving the bar.
Weird.
So the footage showed him entering the bar, talking outside for a few minutes, and then re-entering the bar. And it never showed him leaving. And neither did the emergency exit camera that they checked.
So he, like, died in the bar. Sounds like someone in the back killed him and put him in a wall.
Well, Em's on the case.
I'm cracking it now.
So, they also studied footage of cameras at three other nearby bars. So, like, all the bars on that strip have security cameras. They studied all the camera. They thought maybe he had, like, put on a disguise and left the bar, but they studied all the cameras and did not see him in any of the footage. They thought maybe he left through another exit, but there was one service door. There was an emergency exit that did have a camera. He wasn't on that camera. There was also a service door that opened onto a construction site. And if he had managed to get out there, it would have been, like, extremely difficult because it opened onto, like, a very dangerous construction site. It would have been difficult to walk through sober, much less intoxicated. It just didn't seem likely because he wasn't found anywhere near there, and it was a very difficult path to walk. So they began to fan out the search. They went from the Ugly Tuna outward. They took police dogs. So police officers took police dogs, looking closely into dumpsters, other containers, asking local residents if they had seen him, posted flyers everywhere. He had a tattoo on his arm from the album cover of Alive by Pearl Jam, which is one of his favorite bands, on his arm. So they posted all those details.
Mine's the single Cheeseburger in Paradise.
I hate you so much. I was actually surprised. I was like, he didn't have a Buffett tattoo.
Well, also, like, you didn't talk about your tattoo, like your giant back tattoo of the Fall Out Boy album you got.
I am actually getting a Fall Out Boy tattoo.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Well, I cannot stand
it's
you.
A Leonard Cohen Fall Out Boy tattoo.
Okay. Well, I mean, we'll see it when we see it.
You'll see it.
Are we going to see it June 4th as an anniversary to your most recent tattoo?
Actually, Renee and I are getting matching tattoos.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Adorable.
Yeah, you know, adorable.
One day you and I should get the ATWWD logo.
We should, dude.
We should, but we have to make sure that when this ends, it didn't end poorly. Otherwise, it's going to be a big mistake that we've got that tattoo.
Well, I was listening to My Favorite Murder when they talked about that, and they were like, what if we get it? And then, like,
and then hate each other a year from now.
It's anxiety. It's too much. We have too much anxiety to do that.
Yeah. I feel like to do it would be like the kiss of death on a great relationship and a great
agreed. I feel like career. We have to wait till it like dies out and then we can memorialize we have to, it.
Yes. I think it will be like that will be the
once it's a happy memory.
Once this goes away, which it never will because I refuse to let
sure,
it.
Sure, 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 sure.
But one day when it does, it will be closure. The tattoo will be like the final nail in the coffin of the show.
Nail in the coffin.
But like a happy nail in a happy coffin. You know what I mean?
It'll be a happy nail in a happy coffin.
Yeah.
Yes.
It'll be like a ta-da, like closing the chapter.
Ta-da.
That's what I'm going to put on the Instagram post. Ta-da.
Ta-da. Happy nail in the happy coffin. Hammer it in.
Hammer it in.
It's over.
Cover it in cement.
It's over, folks.
All right. But also, that's never going to happen.
So he had a tattoo from Pearl Jam.
Got it. That's where we left off.
I don't know. That was part of the the missing poster. Beep boop bop beep boop bop beep boop bop beep boop bop.
It's also a part of the drinking game.
Oh, shit. So was something else we just said. What did we say?
Sure.
Oh, it was just me. Okay. The police even persuaded the city of Columbus to let them into the sewer system and search there. Ooh. So they searched the entire sewer system. There was nothing uncovered. They actually went to... So his girlfriend, Alexis, went to his apartment, which was only 6 blocks from the Ugly Tuna. His car was still parked outside. Nothing appeared amiss. Inside the apartment, nothing was missing. His glasses were still there, which was kind of telling because he had been wearing contacts on his night out. But he would have needed glasses to see.
Right. I hear you.
Beyond, like, wearing his contacts. And then Randy Schaefer, so the dad, received a tip from a psychic. So apparently he was kind of, like, reliant on psychics during this time. And he received a tip from a psychic stating that Brian's body would be found in a body of water. So he and his other son, Derek, along with some other locals, spent many hours searching along the shores of the Olentangy River, which flows past OSU's campus, mm-hmm. and is a mile from Brian's apartment. And actually, it's sad. I read that Randy would just spend months like walking up and down the shores just looking for...
That's so sad.
Really sad. Looking for any sign of Brian.
I mean, also because like his wife died
than a month ago.
Just died. And then he just had dinner with him that night.
And
he remembers thinking like, don't go.
It's not a good idea. Yeah. It's not, yeah.
Why parents, folks, friends, if you have a gut feeling, you fucking
tell it. At least say it out loud so you don't have to feel like...
You don't have the
just
guilt.
Just say it out loud. It's just rough. It's not... I mean, I'm not saying it's his fault by any means.
But for your own clear conscience...
Clearly...
If you have a gut feeling, just listen to it.
His gut was clearly telling him something. So everyone who saw Brian that night, the night he went missing, March 31st, or morning of April 1st, was given a lie detector test. Everyone agreed to take it except Clint, his friend.
His friend. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Who not only declined the test, but also lawyered up.
Uh-oh.
Which...
Bad sign.
Seems like a bad sign, but at the same time, you can kind of look at it both ways, because if the police were kind of badgering him, like, obviously your first instinct, at least what they tell you if you're...
Is don't talk to a cop.
Is... get a lawyer. If someone's like, oh, you might be a suspect, you know, you get a lawyer. That's
okay. That's smart.
Standard procedure. So it does seem fishy.
Because also when you're in a state of shock, like anything you say is
it's not good.
You're not thinking clearly. So you're not going to be speaking clearly and it could be used against you later.
And he said, like, I told them everything I knew and they were badgering me. So like I got a lawyer, which is like, okay, understood. I would probably, especially like if my parents knew, they'd be like, get a lawyer. Like,
yeah,
whether you're guilty or not, it's something, but it's like, say the police were targeting him as a suspect, then yeah, I don't blame him for getting a lawyer.
If I go before you and you get badgered, get a lawyer. I'm telling you, I'm telling you in advance.
Thanks, Anne. Hey, Renee, who's in OSU law school, will you be my lawyer? Thanks.
Can you be mine in case Christine goes first?
Oh God. Okay.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Okay. Thanks. So it is a little weird that he wouldn't take a polygraph, but he later claimed that his lawyer told him not to. So I guess that's an answer to that. The women that Brian had been seen talking to outside on the camera were later identified and claimed they had never been asked to take the test. But at the same time, he had walked inside and they were seen on the footage, like leaving mm-hmm. the premises. So it didn't necessarily seem like they
were guilty of anything.
Would have anything to do with it. So Alexis, his girlfriend, called Brian's phone every night before going to bed for months, just to hear his voice on the voicemail.
Oh, that's so sad.
It is really sad. And it went to voicemail every single time. But one night in September, it actually rang. It rang three times before going to voicemail.
Oh.
And she said she, like,
I would have lost my fucking mind.
Freaked out. She was like, I didn't know what to do if someone answered. Like, I didn't know what to say or think. So she kept calling, and the police got involved, and Brian's phone pinged a tower in Hilliard, which was a suburb 14 miles northwest of central Columbus. And after that, the phone was off again. It never picked up again. And Singular, the phone carrier.
Wow, 2006.
Singular Wireless.
Anyone else remember the little orange man?
Yeah.
My dad had Singular.
Good times. Apparently Singular said it could have been a glitch, and it could have been nothing, but like a lot of people in his family took it as a sign like of hope that maybe he was alive. But at the same time, it pinged 14 miles outside of Columbus. So like some people thought maybe
someone stole the
phone.
Someone
picked up the phone and turned it on. Yeah. Like,
right.
Somebody just found it, or somebody still, cause it was months later. Like maybe somebody just picked it up and found it. Like right. Who knows? So they think it was maybe a glitch that she had called so many times that it just happened to go through right. At one point. So it's hard to say, but that did give them some hope. And the police also received a lot of tips, but none of them really were breakthroughs in the case. And actually, speaking of Pearl Jam, at a Pearl Jam concert in Cincinnati later that year, lead singer Eddie Vedder took times between songs to ask for tips in Brian's disappearance. But all the tips that came in weren't really helpful to the case. There were sightings in Michigan, Texas, and Sweden, of all places, and they were all investigated. Nothing turned out fruitful. And actually, one of the things that police actually investigated was that it may have been part of the Smiley Face murders, which I don't know if you know about that. Okay, good, because I was gonna say
I don't think I want to know, because I'm sure you're gonna cover it.
I'm gonna cover it.
I've heard of it, but I've heard of the phrase smiley face killer, but I don't know what makes it smiley face. I think it's like he draws a smiley face on them or carves it in them, something really fucked up, I'm sure.
No, but you know,
I mean, my mind goes to the worst.
Of course, it sounds like something out of Criminal Minds where they cut open your face or something,
right?
But no,
like make you look like you're smiling. Creepy.
It's not like Joker status.
Got it.
It's a different thing, but I'm gonna do it in a future episode. But so some people thought that maybe his death was part of the heavily disputed smiley face murder theory, which is also not a proven theory. It's something that two detectives have taken several disappearances and kind of turned it into a possible theory, like a possible pattern. But most mainstream detectives don't believe that it's true. So the only problem with that is that all the other victims of the so-called smiley face killer, their bodies have been found. And so his body has never been found.
Got it.
So it's hard to really say that this is part of that pattern. Okay, so things, like, believe it or not, things actually get worse.
Okay.
I know. Cool. So in September of 2008, so like 2 years after Brian's disappearance, Randy Schaefer, during a heavy windstorm in central Ohio, so this is Brian's dad, he was out in the yard of his home in Baltimore, Ohio, cleaning debris and trying to clear out the yard when a branch flew out from a nearby tree and struck him and killed him.
No.
And his body was not found until the next day.
What a freak accident.
Freak accident.
That's just the scariest.
So after his obituary ran online, they posted one of those like online condolences where you could leave your condolences in comments on the page. And a comment came through that said, "To Dad, love Brian, parentheses, U.S. Virgin Islands."
What?
So the police immediately, obviously, traced this and thought maybe it had something to do with Brian's disappearance, obviously.
They think someone was just fucking around and being a troll?
They traced the
IP address?
IP, and it went to Franklin County, Ohio, and it was determined to be a cruel hoax. What is wrong with people?
That's horrible.
What a psychotic thing to do.
Yeah, that's like not funny.
Not funny. And no, not funny in any sort of way.
Now, if you said love Christine, like parentheses, Jimmy Buffett concert. Also a cruel hoax.
Hashtag 6969.
Except that's funny. Love you, mean it, from Rice Pudding 9 at the Jimmy Buffett concert.
But not on someone's fucking obituary.
Okay, that's true.
Literally anywhere but that.
Right.
Yeah. So that was like a really fucked up thing where, and like if you think about it, this is the worst part. So Derek, the older brother, had lost his mother, then his brother, and then his father in like a snap of a finger. They were all gone.
His whole family.
His entire immediate family.
That's, I was just going to be like, that blows. But like, obviously, no, like, yeah. That's such an understatement.
And
did he go crazy? Well, I would have.
And then people go on the internet and write like stupid hoax messages to be funny.
I would have waltzed myself into an institution and just checked myself in and been like, I need to be watched.
I don't know how you could handle it.
I would not be able to handle it.
So it's really tragic. So shortly after Randy, the father's death, Neil Rosenberg, who was Clint, remember the Clint who wouldn't take the polygraph?
Yep.
So Clint's attorney, Neil Rosenberg, wrote to a private investigator who was volunteering his time to help the Schaefer family find Brian. And he basically, so the private investigator asked Neil Rosenberg, like, why won't your client take the polygraph test? So he basically insinuated that he had learned that the Columbus police investigating the case believed that Brian was alive.
Oh.
And in April 2009, Ohio State student newspaper The Lantern disclosed the actual exchange, which basically was that Neil Rosenberg said, if Brian is alive, which is what I'm led to believe after speaking with the detective involved, then it is Brian and not Clint who is causing his family pain and hardship.
Ooh.
Brian should come forward and end this. He said that Clint did not have anything to hide and had told the police everything he knew from the beginning and did not see the value in doing so again.
Uh-huh.
In 2014, the Columbus police said they were still receiving at least 2 tips a month on the case via the local Crime Stoppers hotline, although none had proven useful. The evidence in the case filled 4 boxes of files. One of the original investigators, named Andre Edwards, told the Columbus Monthly that after extensive review of the camera footage at the Ugly Tuna from the night Brian disappeared, he could say with, quote, 100% certainty that Brian did not leave the bar. Police say they have 3 theories on the case, but they've declined to discuss them even generally with the public.
Wild.
So basically, the theories are just that either, you know, he was fucking killed in the bar somehow, or like he was part of some sort of drug deal gone wrong, or like the restaurant maybe covered up his death because he was killed on the construction accident or construction site. Like nobody knows. Or he just went off on his own and started a new life somewhere because of he was just tragically upset, or he committed suicide. Like nobody knows.
Jeez.
And now, Ugly Tuna Saluna this year, Renee called me recently and told me they're closing officially this year.
Really? Wow.
The bar is shutting down. So it's now timely again. Bar is back in the news. They've been around for a long time, and now they're closing up shop.
Wild.
Yeah. And nobody knows where he is, but a lot of people have this case as their kind of, like, pet project. And similar to, like, Eron's, a lot of people are kind of armchair experts and are, like, looking into all the details. And with the internet now, are trying to find exactly what happened to him. So hopefully we find an answer.
Nice.
That's the story of Brian Schaefer.
Wow. It's a good one.
Don't do that, Blaze. Jesus Christ.
At the exact end of the story. I waited.
Were you just standing outside?
Are you going to work?
Yes.
Jesus, it's 11 o'clock at night, guys.
He's going to San Francisco to go to work.
Are you going to another conference?
No, he's going to work at a job, his job in San Francisco.
I'm sorry. What?
He picked up monthly shifts in San Francisco.
Why?
Because he's fucking insane.
Are you that money hungry? What is wrong with you? You're literally driving for 6 hours to San Francisco right now.
No, he's flying. Taking a bus. He's taking a bus.
You're taking a bus in your scrubs to get directly to the hospital and start working?
No, I gotta go to get my badge and stuff like that.
So he's a lunatic.
He's a lunatic.
Is there a real reason behind this? Does it like get you brownie points or a raise or something?
They pay me extra to go.
Okay, there's that reason.
I love you.
Love you too.
Ugh, guys, we all experienced that together.
I'm sad you're leaving.
I know, I'm sad.
I'm sad.
Eva, keep this in. This is good. No. This is gold.
Make Gio sleep upstairs.
Gio always waits downstairs when Blaze isn't home. So if he waits downstairs, Blaze won't come home tonight.
Oh my God.
I have to carry him upstairs to make sure he's...
That's such a loyal son
Don't
you have.
Don't be upset. I love you, okay?
Love you too.
Please be safe.
I will.
I don't like buses. Okay, don't.
He was a bouncer. He's fine.
Okay, I love you.
I love you too.
I love you.
Love you too.
Like I was waiting outside for us to finish.
Precious.
Anyway, that's the story of Brian Schaefer.
All right. It was gnarly.
Gnarly indeed, dude. Can you believe the next time we tell a story, we're going to be on a fucking stage? I know you're upset, but I feel like we're going to do fine.
Yeah. That really... Okay. Yes, I am excited to go on stage with you.
I'm just going to wait it out.
I mean, it's going to be the same as the live show in Nashville where...
Where we both had a fucking nightmare panic attack.
Yeah, but then we looked at each other and we were like, did we even start?
We blacked out the whole thing.
Hopefully that's how this goes.
It will.
But also, guys, Allison's going to be as drunk as a skunk because I requested it because...
Oh, she told me. She's like, my rules are that I need to be drunk as a skunk.
Yes.
Because
I have my fear is of being on stage is very specific where the closer of a relationship I have with you, the more nervous I am to perform in front of you.
A lot of people have messaged us or emailed us being like, tell M that a lot of people who like... Tell M to bring their mom or their like friends and family.
Yeah, that's the worst thing I could do.
I don't think you understand that that's the last thing M wants.
It's truly the last thing. And the worst part about this whole live show is that it's in LA where all of my friends bought tickets. And then because they don't understand my fear, texted me saying, I got tickets to your show. And I was like, I want to not be fucking friends with you anymore.
And it means that they love you.
I know, but my brain doesn't read it that way. It's just the less I know you. If I fuck up, I never have to see you again, so who cares? But, like, if I fuck up and I know you, I have to look at you in the face eventually.
If you fuck up and they don't know you, they're going to write a mean thing on iTunes. Whereas if they fuck up and they know you, they're just going to say, you did great, and you're never going to know otherwise.
Yeah, but I know when my friends are not being truthful and just trying to be nice. All I don't want to have the fear that maybe they're just doing that.
Nobody else is on stage doing shit, so, like, they don't have room to be like, you didn't do a good
anyway, job. Anyway, I requested that Allison and all my friends get hammered. That way, hopefully, they just don't remember it. So that way, I can look them in the face the next day if I mess up. Because they won't have remembered either.
All right, let's go with that.
So, if you see Allison, she's going to be good and friendly.
Good and friendly. Renata will be there. And we're going to brunch on Sunday morning at a German restaurant in LA. And we're starting with beer at 10 a.m. So
are you going to be drunk on the stage?
We're going to have a good fucking time, dude.
All right.
Renata's great. Wearing her shirt, her ATWWD shirt. We're going to have a good time. Tell them about the cool website that I just created.
Like ours?
Yeah.
I know there was like a new site.
Squarespace. I did create a new site on Squarespace.
Yes, there's a new updated version of our website, correct? Well,
yes, but I moved it from a totally different... It was on WordPress and now it's on Squarespace. I made a whole new website.
Oh, I hear what you're saying. I thought you meant like... I'll tell them.
Just tell them about it.
You can find us at ATWWD Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You can also find us at ATWWD Podcast on Patreon. Please donate. Your donations are unbelievably helpful.
Huge.
And the reason why we've been able to grow so quickly and in such a blur.
Yes.
Such a drunk blur, right, Christine?
Blur indeed.
You can also find us at our website, and that's why we drink.com. You can find our merch. We have new merch out. And that's why we drink .bigcartel.com. You can also find our email, and that's why we drink at gmail.com, where you can send in your personal true crime and ghost stories, where we put out a listener's episode at the first of every month.
And by the way, some people have written like, oh, you didn't say my story in the past month, but I'm like, please understand that
we do a personal listener's episode.
We do six stories a month, and we get thousands a month. So please don't feel like we're ignoring you. It's just in the backlog. We're getting there. The backlog. Yes.
And then also, you threw me off my groove.
Sorry, but
you can also send us fan mail.
You can.
You can send it at 1920 Hillhurst Avenue, Vermont. We're not in Vermont. We're in Los Angeles, California, 90027.
No, you didn't say the number.
Number 26. I always forget,
yeah,
don't I?
Yeah, but you also didn't say the street.
Hillhurst Ave.
Oh, I thought you were saying Vermont because that was my old street.
Yeah, I was trying to sidestep that. Yeah, let me do this again. You can also send us fan mail, please. And our address is 1920 Hillhurst Ave, number 265. 265?
Yep.
256? 265. Los Angeles, California, 90027. And we are now also, for our Patreon support, we also have a fan mail video that we put out once a month, so that's
it is
extra fun.
Really fun, and we just open all your mail and it's a great time.
And we have our Facebook Live May 27th at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we also have our live show at the Irvine Improv at 7 o'clock on June 3rd.
Yeah, we do.
My 26th birthday, and the last day that Christine is 26 years old.
It is.
And we need you to come so that we have the potential to prove to other people in other venues that we would do well at their venues. So please, please come. Also bring me presents. That would make me feel better.
What about me?
Bring Christine early presents.
It's also my birthday.
And
I'm not going to say that's because, and.
And?
And we're also going to some other East Coast shows soon if we can get some of these shows filled up. So please come. Yes. We are going to DC in November, so be there or be square. Find the info on our website, and
that's why we
drink. And also, it's going to be my birthday too, so don't steal it from me.
And
I'm a Gemini, you know, I need half the attention.
And
that's
why
we
drink.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.